Well, now to conclude our program, a quick portrait of the country considered the buckle of the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative. The ninth biggest country in the world, for years seen as just one of the anonymous stands in the Soviet Union, but next year about to take up in its own right the role of rotating president in the UN Security Council. Guessed yet? It's Kazakhstan, a country often reduced to stereotypes and joke content, which certainly doesn't capture what's underway in this Central Asian powerhouse. It's made the crucial transition to upper middle income country due to plentiful oil and minerals, and it's been in the particular spotlight for hosting the 2017 World Expo, which is about to end, and which probably welcomed the more intrepid Australian traveller, though I don't have the exact figures. Let's hear from Liazat Shatayeva, who's head of the English service at Kazakh TV, part of the public broadcaster. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Geraldine. Thank you so much.
Liazat, what was Kazakhstan hoping to achieve primarily from hosting Expo?
It was very necessary and important for Kazakhstan to be seen on the world arena. So I think initially we really wanted to put ourselves on the global map by hosting such a large-scale event that would attract lots of attention in the media and among the decision-makers and country leaders. And we have also selected a very timely topic, which is future energy. And we, being a country with vast, enormous traditional energy sources, are being innovative and proactive in introducing sustainable energy solutions.
Yes, and I'm going to come to that in just a moment. But in a sense, am I right in assuming that Kazakhstan is very keen to get out of Russia's shadow? It wants to stand up in its own right?
Oh, absolutely. I think for long we've been associated as a former Soviet country or part of Russia. And it's been a quarter century since we've been an independent country with a thriving economy. So it's definitely our way of putting ourselves on a map as an independent country with its independent vision, with its independent strategy, with its very unique identity.
What's been the local public response?
I think we're really living in one of the happiest moments of our lives in the past few decades. I think we've not necessarily been supportive of the initiative from the very beginning, since it's a very costly project. It got controversial, you know,
coverage
and reviews, yes. But since it has begun and now it has really gained its momentum, we're seeing more and more people visiting the expo and coming back and lots of people traveling. We've had 1,300,000 people traveling from different parts of Kazakhstan to Astana over the 2 months just to see the expo. So I think, and from just a personal experience as well, I think this has been an event that has made us all proud of our country and proud of what's happening.
Yes, I mean, they're seen as events for international response, but certainly when Brisbane had it here in Australia, it completely repositioned Brisbane. And I think Queenslanders, the state itself, the people themselves, it changed their view of their place in the world, I think.
That's very true. For a country that is this young, for a country that is still looking for its identity, whether it's national identity or a public sort of a consciousness, giving people what they can be proud of and what they can hold on to and what represents them, eventually would represent them, is really important. And I think Expo has been that.
Now, the theme of this year's Expo was future energy. So why was this chosen?
Kazakhstan in general, in the past two decades, has positioned itself as a progressive country that is moving towards global integration, that has a really long-term vision in terms of, and has positioned itself as a peacemaker, as a progress bringer to the Central Asia, to the region in general. So I think we really wanted to set the example of a country that, despite its traditional energy sources, that the country that is willingly and is very serious about introducing more and more sustainable energy sources and renewable solutions. And we are turning our economy towards introducing the renewables into many of our sectors, although...
Is it a big debate as it is here in this country?
I really don't think it is a big debate. We really do share the initiative. We've been, because Kazakhstan has suffered so many unfortunate events in the 20th century, and we have been unfortunate to be the country where many nuclear tests have been conducted. So we have seen natural disasters. We have seen how human activity can affect the surrounding world and how it can have implications that are irreversible and are really deadly to humankind. So I think that understanding really has been the stem and has been the base for choosing this topic for the expo.
Tell us a little more about your country. As I said, you're described as the buckle in the Belt and Road Initiative. You're often portrayed as being stuck in the middle, sandwiched between these great powers of China and Russia. Does it feel like that within the country?
Well, I think we're both the place where, you know, the Western and Eastern cultures meet, and we're also the place where these end. So we can be both a place of nowhere and a place where, and actually an epicenter of everything. So what we're trying to do is really make benefit of our location and of our neighbors and our strategic location. Mm. So we are a big part of of China's Silk Road Initiative, which really connects China with the Western world, with Europe. We have built a road, part of the One Belt, One Road initiative. We've built a road that connects Western China with Western Europe, and almost one third of that road really lies through Kazakhstan, which really increases Kazakhstan's transit potential. So I think we're really a fusion of both, you know, the Eastern culture
and Western thinking. Would I feel that if I traveled there? You know, do you sense that?
Oh, you would definitely see the fusion of sort of authenticity and modernity. You would definitely be faced with the traditional culture, cuisine, hospitality of the people that has been here for centuries. But you'd also see extremely modern architecture, great infrastructure. So there's a very interesting mixture of different times represented here. It's almost eclectic, but it's a very interesting place to be. And one of the really main descriptions that lots of people use to describe Kazakhstan, and especially Astana, is dynamism.
How dynamic Astana.
Really.
Well, look, you are in the process of something very interesting, it seems to me. You're preparing for a very important switch from the more traditional Cyrillic script, which was very much from that part of the world and which is incomprehensible to people from many parts of the West, to a Latin alphabet. So what does that suggest?
We're switching Kazakh alphabet to, Kazakh language to Latin script to Latin alphabet. In my mind, I think it is one of the ways of us, again, regaining our national identity, of us being more accessible to the world, of us being more open to the world.
So what, the Cyrillic was imposed upon you by the Russians, was it?
It was imposed in the 1940s. Just before it, Kazakhs have used Kazakh language. We've used Latin alphabet for Kazakh language for two decades before introducing Cyrillic. So we've done that. We have used Latin, and then we're also increasing our English classes in schools. So the younger generation is really comfortable with Latin alphabet, and we really want to be able to, especially in the digital world, to make our Kazakh language more adaptable.
And what is the main language? Is it Kazakh and Russian?
They're both equally spoken.
Right.
The majority of people living in Kazakhstan would speak both Kazakh and Russian. So Russian language will still remain and will still be published in Cyrillic, and Cyrillic will still be used widely. But the Kazakh language we would use Latin script.
Very interesting. Is tourism being actively fostered? And I mean, do you see many Australians there?
Well, it is. Well, Australia is really far away from Kazakhstan. So
yes, it is.
I personally haven't seen that many. But we're seeing an influx of tourists, especially this summer in Astana, definitely. It has become very international. It has become largely English speaking. Some parts it's mainly English speaking. So it's a very interesting place to be.
Well, Leah Zut, you're a very good advocate for your country. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you. This has been my pleasure.
Leah Zut Shatayeva, head of the English service at Kazakh TV. There you are. There's a challenge for you.